Fairly see me afterwards. Woomble.
Yes, I'm here.
McIntosh.
Here.
Vernal.
Yeah.
McDonald.
Yeah.
Coxon.
Yeah.
Tams.
Sir.
Causley.
Here.
Cutting.
Yeah.
Carr.
Sir.
Reed.
Aye.
Right, very good to see his turnout, dear. Let's try and keep this up, shall we, for the rest of the term. So, Under One Sky is a project that's... this is going to be its second major item following the Celtic Connections, and I should come really first to you, John, John McCusker, because tell us a little bit about what this project is.
It was an idea by an organisation called the PRS Foundation, and they give money for special one-off or, you know, just one-off kind of things, and they came up with the idea to celebrate two big festivals in Britain, and they wanted to celebrate folk music, so they came up with the idea of the Cambridge Folk Festival and the fantastic Celtic Connections up in Glasgow. And they asked me to write a piece of music that was like an hour long and get people that would play at both those festivals and music that you would hear at both those festivals. And that's where the idea came about, and then asked all this lot.
Yeah. And they all said yes straight away, did they?
Well, it says in the programme that it says John McCusker and Friends, but I'd just like to point out these are not my real pals. My real pals play football and sell toasters, but that makes for a terrible concert. So I just asked them, and I was delighted. Yeah, they all said yes, and it's been amazing. It's been an amazing experience.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's amazing to see you all here now. We're going to hear from you in a few seconds, but Roddy Wimble, can I come to you and talk about this next thing we're going to hear? What is this?
Okay. Well, this is one's called Lavender Hill at the moment.
Right. Is it still a work in progress?
Well, I think the whole thing is, really, I think. The second time we approached it, it seemed to change, and we found different sort of shapes in the songs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So yeah, it's still kind of working on it.
And you got rave reviews for the Celtic Connections performance, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was just, I mean, it's. I think the most exciting thing about the whole thing was that it was a group of musicians that normally wouldn't play together. So it was amazing seeing people all in the same room from different genres of music. And no, we had a total ball.
Yeah. I'll say hello to my old mucker, Graham. Hello. Are you all right?
Oh, hello.
Have you enjoyed yourself in this?
Yeah, I have.
But is it a bit of a different... Sorry, you're having to adopt a really peculiar heron-like posture in order to get to the microphone. And has it been... I know, there is a kind of... some kind of macaw outside, isn't there, trying to get in a... Was this been a... Has this been a good... has this been, you know, fun for you, and has it been a different thing for you today?
It's been... yes. Yeah, it's different, because I don't feel as much... as much stress. I could sort of... sit back and plunk on my guitar and sort of enjoy that collective sound rather than, you know, straining and stressing to show off in front of audiences. And the humour's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got to surround yourself with a good humour.
Yeah.
That's more important than a good audience.
Yeah. Sit back and plunk then now, as we hear a song, which is Lavender Hill at the moment.
At the moment, yeah.
Make change. Okay. Take it away, as they say.
I imagine you walk me down Lavender Hill, so we forget what we want. As the evening stood still, and we stretched out our sunset, so it isn't so sad. And we took the chords and found the chords dancing. So I let you walk me down and over each hill, and we have everything we want. But I forget that until it's the end of the sunset, and it isn't so sad. And just play the chords and dance to these chords laughing. The next day, I thought I saw Lavender Hill, but it's a dream that I had. It's a mountain that I couldn't climb, but I tried. and I tried until I heard these chords and sung to these chords, grasping. So the next time you walk me down Lavender Hill, it's the music I want. Let the evening stand still. Let me stretch out my sunset so it isn't so sad, and dance to these chords. Let these chords go on dancing.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Under One Sky, though, playing live for us here on the Radcliffe and McConaughey Show, and the whole of the Under One Sky suite, would you call it? That man? Yeah.
We'll be. I thought that was quite sweet.
A suite. The whole of it will be played here on the main stage tomorrow evening. Thank you very much. We're going to hear one more a bit later on, but for now, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, right, that's Under One Sky. We'll have more later on, as Stuart says. I was going to give you the exact time it was on stage because I've started that, but I can't just see him here now. Oh, yeah, there you are, 6:20 to 7:20 tomorrow night, just so you're keeping up with things. This is Mark Radcliffe back in our luxurious van facility. We'll have a tune from Paul Simon, who was mentioned in Stuff and Nonsense, and then we'll talk to Kate Watts.
Yes, it's getting dark now, actually, so legging it through there. It's actually getting a bit treacherous, but I'm here now, back again with the fine gentlemen and ladies who make up the Under One Sky project. I've introduced everyone earlier, but I would say that augmented now by one John Towns. Hello, John.
Good evening.
And you're taking the what they used to call a liner notes, I think, the vocal chores on this one, aren't you?
Vocal chores?
Yeah.
Yes, John sent me some tunes and it said write some words.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you want them to be about? And he said, about 3 minutes.
So what are you going to play for us now?
We're going to play Lay You Down.
Marvellous.
Thank you. lay you down. There's a promise to keep, nestled in satin, softer than sable. I'll be your cradle, I'll rock you to sleep. Hush, hush, your bye, baby. Hush, hush, your bye, don't you cry. Hush, hush, your bye, baby.
Welcome again, Martin.
Hello.
How is that pre-sealed Chardonnay?
As you would expect, I think it's fair to say.
Are you a sort of veteran down the years ago? I was looking at, and when was your first album? 1976?
76, and that's the first year I played Cambridge.
So was it?
It's a staggering 31 years.
Right.
But yeah. I first came when I was 16, I figured it out, so.
Yeah.
1969, oh dear. Oh.
How's it changed over the years, or has it not?
It's much muddier now than it ever was. The 60s weren't muddy at all.
This is actually my first muddy Cambridge, yeah, actually. No,
it actually, in a sense, I mean, it's busier. It sells out. It is more mainstream, perhaps, but then if you look at what was happening in the 60s, folk music was quite mainstream in the 60s anyway. So I think it's great. I think it's maintained an incredible standard over the years.
I think it's kind of, the size of it's restricted because of the location, because it's on a city park, which is great. So it can't get bigger, because even if people say we don't want it to be bigger, they'd be tempted, because if you can sell double the number of tickets, who wouldn't? But I mean, people do say, you know, people do say, well, what does folk mean? You know, I mean, but you can't have kind of, you know, 4 days of just hard, traditional kind of core stuff. But they are true true to that, aren't they?
Yeah, I think all the music that's here is related in some way to traditional music. You know, yeah. Whether it's folk music, yeah. Whether it's not, it's influenced by traditional music. So yeah.
I think we're going to hear something now from your new
one. Well, we're going to, because Martin's going to play us a yeah. song, which is going to take us probably up to the news.
So I think it is.
We should say this is from Martin's new album, Prodigal Son. And this is kind of not the title track, but sort of the title track, isn't it?
Well, it's about my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay. An important song to me.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Boy, you were never any good with money. Couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the hard. You'd rather be riding your Norton or going fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. Couldn't even hold a job. When your grammar school days were over, it was 1917, and you did the right and proper thing. You were just 18, and you were never mentioned in dispatches. You never mentioned what you did or saw. You were just another keen young man in the mud and stink of war. You were never any good with money. Couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the hard. You'd rather be singing the Pirate King or fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. And you came home from the Great War with the pips of a captain's rank and a German officer's Luger and no money in the bank. Your family sent you down the coal mine to learn to be captain there, but you didn't stand it very long. You needed the light in the air. Oh, you were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the hard. You would rather be watching the fulmers fly or fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. So when the Second War came along, you knew what should be done. You would re-enlist to teach young men the booby trap and the gun. And they sent you home to Yorkshire with a crew and a Lewis gun, so you could save your seaside town from the bombers of the Hun. Oh, you were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the hard. You'd rather be finding the nightjar's nest or fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. When my mother came to your door with a baby in her arms and her big hurt boy just 9 years old, trying to keep her from harm. If you'd have been a practical man, then you would have been forewarned, and you would have seen that it never would work, and I would have never been born. Proper work in your seaside town, so we moved here looking for a job. You were storming at the power station just before I came along, and nobody talked about how you quit, but I know that's what you did. My mother said you were a selfish man, and I was your selfish kid. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office. Not hard enough for the hard. And your Norton, it was soon gone, along with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job. You showed me Eyebright in the hedgerow,
Speedwell and Traveler's Joy. It taught me how to use my eyes when I was just a boy. And you showed me how to love a song and all you knew of nature's ways. These are the greatest gifts I've ever known, and I use them every day. Oh, you were never any good with money. Couldn't even hold a job. Not steady enough for the office, maybe not hard enough for the hard. You'd rather be riding your Norton or going fishing with your split cane rod. You were never any good with money. You couldn't even hold a job.
Say that, but we just did, didn't we?
But I mean, there were some other stuff, but this is the first one you've sort of really
felt
confident
about. Yeah, this is the one I've got out there myself, and I'm really proud of this.
Yeah, right. And it's called Tim's House.
Yes.
And the title is perfectly literate, isn't it?
Yeah. My friend Tim produced it around his house.
In Brighton,
yeah.
Yeah, right. You're not from Brighton, you're from Burnham-on-Crouch, which is a name that sounds, I don't know why, sounds slightly comical. Why is that? Burnham-on-Crouch?
It's in a song. Oh, who sings about Burnham?
Is it? Has it got comic connotations?
Yeah. Billericay, Dickey and...
Oh, all right, okay.
Yeah,
all right, yeah. Burnham-on-Crouch. Right, so what's Burnham-on-Crouch like then?
It's lovely, really.
Is it? Yeah. Is it by the sea? Is it?
Yeah, it's on a river, the River Crouch. It's on an estuary.
Right.
It's lovely. It's beautiful. The sun comes down just in the mouth of the river. And
right.
There's a seawall with lots of pubs along, and it's very pretty.
But a small town, I think one of your songs, Talk of the Town, is about, like, you know, perhaps the downside is that everybody knows what everybody's doing, and if you're slightly kind of out of kilter with the sort of, you know, collective town mentality, you kind of stand out a bit.
Exactly. I think it's the same wherever you go in all these small towns. I just happen to grow up in Burnham, but it is lovely.
Yeah. the amazing thing about this, you made this album at Tim's House.
Yeah.
And you put it out on your own label.
Yeah.
Right. And it went to number one on iTunes. How did that happen?
Well, the guys at iTunes, when they got Tim's House, they loved it, and they gave me Single of the Week, which is where they give away a free track every week. And then we got a record number of downloads, and then everybody just went and bought the album and told their friends, and they bought the album. So we were over the moon that people were just buying it because they wanted to, not because somebody had, you know, said, you will like this.
And sometimes you hear that kind of downloads, and, you know, hear all these discussions, is downloads killing the record shop and the record? I mean, you know, iTunes and downloads has absolutely created your career and this huge kind of online word of mouth about you, hasn't it?
Definitely. It means so much for other independent artists that you can get there without backing of major labels and loads of money for manufacturing all these CDs and posting all these CDs off to record companies.
So it's fantastically liberating, really.
Definitely.
And now, so it's come around full circle because you did that off your own back, and now you've got some kind of major record company kind of help in getting it to just sort of dealing with the demand, really. But it's still completely under your control, isn't it?
Yep.
On your label.
It's lovely.
And I mean, it's fantastic. It's the best of all worlds, isn't it? Complete control, and it feels like a dead personal thing, but getting to everybody.
Yep.
Absolutely ideal. We're going to have... I came to that concert and you started with a new song that night, which was such a beautiful song, and purely selfishly, because it's not going to sell you any records.
No.
We're going to have that later on.
Later on, yes.
But we better have, I suppose, your song, which was a single of the week here. And it's going to be a single proper...
Yeah, 17th of September, I think, at the moment. Or it might come back a bit.
Yeah, okay.
Like
all right, okay, lovely. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Kate Walsh.
You heard, I'm stuck on a verse. I'm stuck on a boy who fills me with joy. I knew I was wrong to jump straight on into this picture so pretty, but he is so pretty to me. how far I would go just to kiss him. He doesn't know how I pine. So I'll make a whirlpool and watch him sparkle, and we'll make love. And haven't you heard of all I had first? And he loves me so, with two in a row. Just look in his eyes, they're blue as the skies. Our picture so pretty, 'cause he is so pretty to me.
You're not playing at the festival as such, because otherwise I'd have told people the exact times out of Millicent.
Yeah.
You're doing another festival nearby this weekend, aren't
you? Yeah, Secret Garden Party in Huntingdon.
Yeah, lovely. Right. I've heard that that's a really nice event as well.
I can't wait. It's all situated around a lake, and apparently when you enter the festival, everybody has to walk through a door frame.
Right.
Just a random door frame in the middle of the field. And
cool.
It's going to be great. I'm on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, right.
You're not dabbling in the occult there, are you? It sounds like it could be that kind of festival. Okay. Just one thing, I'm really intrigued by this quirk of fate, although I suppose Kate Walsh is quite a common name, if you don't mind me saying that, but when in Grey's Anatomy, your song was featured in Grey's Anatomy recently, and the lead actress in that is called Kate Walsh.
Yes, that's right, yep.
Well, there you go. What a spooky business.
It's a great name, you know.
It is a lovely name.
Everybody in America probably assumes it's the actress.
I know. I had loads of messages on my MySpace as well, saying, you're not that comedy actress, are you?
Yeah.
So you're going to do another song for us?
I am.
Yes, and now I should fess up here, as I believe is the common parlance these days, because Kate Walsh has got the album Tim's House on the Blueberry Pie label, which is out now, and you can buy it. And I'm only saying this because I've requested this song, which I saw her do at Union Chapel, which is a brand new song, which is nobody can buy for at least another year or something, Kate, is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
But I enjoyed the song so much, and purely selfishly, I wanted to hear
That's
it again.
That's fine, and it's all good publicity.
I wanted to hear it again. So what's the song?
It's called Light and Dark.
Light and Dark, all right. And is this another one? Because all your songs are just incredibly personal, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just so close to you, aren't they? So, yeah. And this is another one, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, then. Okay. Here we go. This is Kate Walsh.
Okay. Do you hear the words I mumble? Do you care if I should stumble? Do you curse the day I met you? Because I left you, but I won't forget you. But he holds my heart between light and the dark. But I wish it was you. Yes, I wish it was you.
Now to introduce to the show Chris Drever. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
The song you're going to play, well known to our listeners, it's been a record of the week of ours.
Yeah, I'd heard that and so chuffed. I thought I'd better do it. Yeah.
Yeah. How was it tonight? Anyway, stage two. I always think Thursday night at Cambridge is a really nice atmosphere. Everybody's building up for a big weekend.
It was lovely. It was very nice. Obviously. The BBC stole my band, so I just had myself and the guitar, but that was kind of all right.
What can you do?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're cheap, that's obviously why you use them. So, you're playing a few times over the weekend, then?
Yes, I'm going to go to WOMAD tomorrow.
Oh, right, okay.
And then I'm going to come back on Saturday and play some double bass and some tenor guitar for Kate Rusby. Right. And then the Trio Lau are playing on Sunday.
Oh, right, okay.
Might be worth explaining just a little, just what you play, about sort of what this song, you know, is about. Because it is a song with a sort of background to it, isn't it?
Well, it's one of, it's one of Boo's, I'm going to forget the name of the book.
The John Steinbeck.
What?
The Grapes of Rock?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But I was just, I just kind of phoned Boo up. Thanks for that, Ian.
This is Boo Hewedine.
Boo Hewedine,
as opposed to lots of other Boos who
that's
we know.
Boo Weekly, the famous Alabama golfer. Yeah.
That's it, right. Absolutely, yeah.
But it is a song about, it's a kind of, well, it's fairly self-explanatory, it's a song about depression here and things like that.
Yeah, it's kind of based on the book, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I think without further ado-ish, then, we should hear it. Chris Drever, Harvest Gypsies.
Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4.
In October we will come 150,000 strong. When the packing's over we'll be gone. Call us the Harvest Gypsies. We only came because we must. We were driven here by dust. They won't even look at us. Call us the Harvest Gypsies. There's apricots in Santa Clara. In Cairn County they have apples there. And the grapes they're growing everywhere. For the Harvest Gypsies. The walnut grove, I met a man who lost a child before San Fran. The strangers, they don't understand. Call us the Harvest Gypsies. The hardest that it's ever been. I sold my blankets for gasoline. It's only hunger I have seen. Now I'm a Harvest Gypsy. The gondolas, the railway lines, they're filled with men when it is time. Drawn by the orange and the lime. All the Harvest Gypsies. When their taxes rise, the squatter camps that they despise. Without us they would rot and die. Without the Harvest Gypsies. The Holbrooks, we were farming men. I dreamed of them I will again. To miss the soil's a curious pain. When you're a Harvest Gypsy.
By Kate Rusby. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
And you've brought along two reprobates with you.
Yep.
Ian Carr and John McCusker. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
You all doing well? You all alright?
Yes, absolutely.
You're going to play us a couple of tunes.
Yes.
We'll have a chat in a moment, but you're going to play us a couple of tunes, I'm assuming, from your lovely new record, Awkward Annie.
You're very correct
Am
with
I?
That, yes.
What are you going to do first?
Awkward Annie.
Let's
Here
do it.
Here it is. You a hen, you gave it back again. Without its eggs, my Annie. I gave to you a hen, you really didn't care. Now it has no legs, my Annie. Oh Annie, let me in, I will fly, I will swim, I will dive.
Lovely. That's Awkward Annie. It's the title track of the new album by Kate Rusby, playing for us live here on BBC Radio 2. This is your sixth solo record?
It might be more, you know.
Is it?
I'm not so sure.
You've been doing something secret, not telling people.
Yes. Yeah, all those will be the secret sessions.
Yeah.
No, we had a couple of, like one that was called 10, that was like a compilation, but we'd re-recorded everything.
Yes.
For it. So there's things like that thrown into the mix. But six proper ones. Yeah.
And it's a mix of the traditional and the original, isn't it?
Yes.
Very much.
Yeah.
And some are absolutely brand new songs.
Yeah.
And some you've put new tunes to old words, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, and there's also some that are just as I've always known them as well, you know, so there's some properly traditional, straight down the line, some that I've readjusted quite a bit, and then some that I've written from scratch,
Which is fine, in the world of folk you can do that, can't you?
Yeah.
People don't, you know, take it umbrage, because it's very much part of the tradition, isn't it, that you change things as things go along.
Well,
it's a living tradition, isn't it?
That's how there's so many versions of all the old songs, you know, because every time somebody's learnt it, they've changed it a bit to suit them, whether it's a town name or a bit of tune or whatever, you know, so then...
That must make difficulties, though, for folk musicians. It's a bit like when you go in different pubs and they play different rules of pool, you know? It's not like you say, oh, yeah, I know that one, I can join you on that one, and then you find out you start playing two completely different tunes.
That's when the fun happens.
And I suppose you're launching the record here this weekend, aren't you, at the festival?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, when you think about launches, showbiz launches, so will there be, like, A-list celebrities and some bouncers in walkie-talkies with black, you know,
absolutely.
Jackson stopping me coming in?
A big circus act going on, lions.
Yeah.
There's going to be some lions.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
Mike Harding's going.
Dressed as a lion?
Dressed as a lion.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I always like that. I think it's for many people the highlight of their Cambridge, that.
And we always do a bit of, like, everybody who comes along and would like the record signing, that's fine, we'll do that. And we hand some white wine out and red wine if you prefer things. And balloons. There's going to be balloons this time. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And, of course, it goes without saying that you're going to play. You'll be playing. Which
When
you first came here, did you first come as a sort of little babe in arms before you ever dreamt of playing? Were you brought here as a kid?
No, I never came. The first time I came was the first time I played.
Really?
Yeah, which must have been, it must have been about 10 years ago now, something like that. Mm. Yeah, and it was quite daunting, you know. I've been playing now for about 14 or 15 years, so it was only like two or three years after I'd got going that come here and play on the big stage, and it's like, oh, what am I supposed to do here? Yeah. Help.
Yeah. But I mean, whilst I'm not trying to underestimate how nerve-wracking that must be, I always get the impression from Cambridge that they're a very welcoming crowd, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're
totally.
Not arms folded impressors, are
no,
they?
No, yeah. No, they're really, really welcoming, and also, of course, Cambridge is such a great place for families that there's a whole range of people there, you know, from tiny little kids, from babies actually, going right up to old grannies and grandpas all here having a lovely time. So it is always just such a lovely atmosphere here. Yeah.
I know. It's one of the few festivals where if you've got to watch your step when you're walking through the main stage, because you might stand on someone's Sudoku magazine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's so much a mix of people, you know what I mean?
I've brought mine. Have it's you? In there Excellent. In my bag.
The record has a fantastic bonus track on it. The last track, the 12th track, is your version of the King's Village Green Preservation Society.
Yes.
It's fantastic. I'm sure people do know, but if they don't, it was done for Jam and Jerusalem, the TV series, wasn't it? How did that come about?
Well, it came about in a very bizarre way, because Jennifer Saunders is married to Aid Edmondson, and like about 10 years ago or something, John McCusker here was doing a solo gig at the Sheffield City Hall, and I was sticking my head through from the backstage, so my bum was sticking out in the corridor, and somebody tapped me on my bum going, "What are you doing, you thief?" And it was Aid Edmondson, who was in the next hall, and he was saying, "What are you doing?" And I was saying, "Oh, this guy's playing in there, and I'm just about to go on and sing." So unbeknown to us, they'd come in and had a listen backstage, and then ever since then they've bought all the records. Yeah. So they've been listening to what we've been doing for the last few years, and then asked us to do the TV series, and we said yes, please.
Because they are big folk fans, aren't they?
Music fans in general.
Music fans in general.
No matter what it is, I mean, they play and sing and all sorts, you know, it's dead lovely.
Fantastic. And that's a bonus track on the record. I think probably I should let you do another tune for us. Are you going to do another tune from the record?
Yes, we are. This is one called The Bitter Boy.
Lovely.
There was a boy, a bitter boy, whose golden heart I saw gleaming. I thought I'd win the heart within, but now I know that I was dreaming. I will rise.
hands I hold the saddest song, and I wish to God I cannot feel it. And then the boy, the bitter boy, he came to me for rest and healing. He reached in his chest, deep in his breast, held out the harp for me still gleaming. But I will rise and I will sing until I know I can't conceal it, because I hold the saddest song, and I wish to God I cannot feel it. And then the boy, me and the boy, we walked for miles through stormy weather. God, I cannot feel it. And then the boy, the bitter boy, he came to take the gleaming treasure. He reached in my chest, deep in my breast, and took the heart away forever. God, I cannot feel it. And then I'll sing the saddest song, and I wish to God you never hear it.
And really pleased to be joined in our little Bijou van area, scene of many a musical triumph, by Phil Beer of Show of Hands. Hello, Phil.
I've just found my chewing gum for the last time.
Really? I've got Phil Beer, or as perhaps many people these days in the Cambridge area know you, Albert Hall.
Yes, good old Albert. He's a friend of mine. Yes.
Tell us about this.
We are notorious for self-promotion. We've done the Albert Hall 3 times. We did it 15 years ago. And just about got away with it, and ever since then we've done it every 5 years, kind of. It's like the major gig of the 5 years, and it's terrific fun. It's really, really, it's excellent, you know, and it's our gig, you know. I think you still get people coming up and saying, how do you get to play the Albert Hall? And of course it's perfectly simple. If you can raise the money to hire the damn place, anyone can play there. Right. It's whether you can actually get people to come and see it.
So that's what Show of Hands do. You book it and you sell tickets.
Yeah.
And you sell it out, don't
you? Yes, we do. Yeah. That's incredible, isn't it?
That is amazing. So to use that horrible expression, your fan base must be extensive and scattered all over the country, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's a hard core of about 20,000 people, I think. And it's one of those things, of course, the email, it's always very hard to actually figure it out, because the email list grows exponentially larger as the snail mail list diminishes, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, no one can write anymore, can they?
No, we've lost that.
None of us can write, you know. So, that's the hard core of it. And it's also it's kind of the nucleus of what we do, because at least you always know that any one time there are 20,000 people who have direct contact with you who will know at the drop of a hat if there's something going on, you know.
Tell us about the history of Show of Hands, people who don't know.
Okay. it really, I suppose it goes back to like the late 60s, and but when the folk scene was absolutely at its zenith, when there were hundreds of, you could go to some kind of session or folk club in our hometown Exeter every night of the week. There was something going on you could go to, and we did. So Steve and I met through that. We're actually from opposite sides of the river, as it were. I come from the Delta side. The Delta side of the X. Sorry, only joking. And he comes from the side with plumbing, which is sort of like Exmouth and Topsham and so on. Sorry, Steve. And anyway, so there was that huge folk scene thing going on in the 60s, and he actually played with a guy called Paul Downs, who I subsequently teamed up with, a phenomenal guitar player. Great, great folk guitar player. And Paul and I were actually the two that kind of became professional musicians somewhere around 1973, 74, and we were sort of on the road for 6 or 7 years. We always played Steve's songs, because even back then he was writing songs, you see. And then the wheel finally came full circle just prior to my leaving the Albion Band. Steve and I, he'd moved to Dorset by then. He'd been living in London for a while. He'd gone down the rock and roll road, had a great time, but never made any massive impact with that. He'd virtually given up music, but he happened to have a sheaf of songs that I hadn't heard, and I was absolutely knocked out by them. So we started learning them, and we just started doing a few little gigs. And it just went from there, basically.
I saw you this year at the Folk Awards when you did a song that clearly has some meaning for you and for wider communities, a song called Roots, which is inspired by, and I've forgotten the person concerned, a certain person's remark.
Well, it was Kim Howells. And
Kim Howells, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, he was a minister. It was all, you know, the initial debate about the licensing laws and basically making it more and more difficult with the health and safety issues and all of those things to make it more difficult for people to make music in pubs. And don't quote me on this. Someone said something, how will this have an impact upon folk music? To which he glibly replied, well, my idea of hell is three folk singers in a Somerset pub. That's, I don't think those are the exact words, but it's pretty close. That was the gist of it, you know. And it kind of incensed so many people. Yeah. Suppose someone had said the same, he's a Welshman, so suppose someone had said the same thing about Welsh male voice choirs or Eisteddfods or things which are culturally significant.
Yeah.
You know, there would have been uproar in the house, you know. And I think Steve kind of festered away with that one and felt that he shouldn't ultimately be allowed to get away with it. And then, albeit somewhat later, he probably did the usual thing, woke up in the middle of the night, got it, and I had the song.
And it's the best riposte to it, because it's a brilliantly angry kind of song, but celebratory of the music as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's got a riff.
Yeah.
A very simple riff, but a riff.
Well, speaking of which, and we're keeping music live here in our little band.
We are.
You've very kindly brought a guitar along, and you're going to attempt to teach me, who's a very amateur guitarist, to play something. What is he going to teach me?
Okay, well, I think this is the major folk festival. I think we should play a time-honoured tune, and this is one of the great examples again. This is an Irish tune. It's called The Teetotaler's Reel. It's another of those that groups of Irishmen would have taken with them to America, you know, two and a half centuries ago. Just like so much music from the British Isles, it kind of permeated into that culture, redesigned itself through the folk process, and it emerges eventually as a sort of country bluegrass tune, but it's identifiably the same tune.
Okay.
Now, they would normally go... But I think it's quite nice as a nice slow tune, you see.
Well, you show me, and I'll try to
stay. Okay, well, the opening phrase is, it's in G, the key of G. So we start on an open D string, and we go to an open G string. So the opening notes are... That's lovely. And then it goes... And then we go up to the open B string, and we do... Blimey, fantastic. So, stringing them together, you get...
Oops.
Fantastic. So far, so good. And then... You need to finger the A note on the G string there, which is on the second fret, okay, and a nice C there, and you play those two in quick succession. So it goes... And then an open B. and an E. And then it kind of follows the scale of G up a bit. Jazz, but it's not jazz, is it?
Well, it can. Well, yeah, you can make it into jazz because, of course, I mean, you can do anything.
Yeah, I won't do that just yet, John. Yeah,
because you listen to any of those bluegrass players. I mean, it's all—it's all, you know. Once they get into the improvisation thing,
should
we
try and stagger through it then?
Okay, right. One, a two, a one, two, three.
You can do that if you like, Phil. Don't worry about that. Thank you ever so much, Phil, for that.
Thanks, you.
And is it all done properly, live? Show of hands. Backstage yurt here at Radio 2. TP.
Wigwam.
Wigwam. TP. I don't know what you call it. It has the flavour, I think, of, can we still say, a rather special kind of place in a Moroccan port town. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. A boudoir.
Yes, something like that, yeah. So I've moved back here. We're going to be talking and hearing from, well, Mike Scott, Steve Wickham, Sharon Shannon, who are going to be playing, well, playing music from the new Waterboys record.
Oh, no, we're not, actually.
Are you not?
Should we be?
No. Oh. You've not come with the greatest hits of Racy instead of... No, we'll talk more about that new record in a moment and various other things. But how about a tune first? What are you going to do?
Yeah, we're going to play the Raggle Taggle Gypsy. All gypsies came to your hall door. They came brave and bold, me oh. And one sang high and the other sang low, and the other sang a raggle taggle gypsy yo. It was late that night when the Lord came in, inquiring for his lady yo. The servant girl, she said to the Lord, she's away me the raggle taggle gypsy yo. Saddle for me, my milk-white steed, my big horse is not speedy-o, and I will ride till I seek my bride, she's away with a raggle-taggle gypsy-o. Now he rode east, he rode west, he rode south and east also, till he came to a wide-open plain, it was there that he spied his lady-o. Tell me, how could you leave your house and your land? How could you leave your money, oh? How could you leave your only wedded lord? All for a raggle-taggle gypsy, oh. Well, what care I for my house and my land? What care I for my money, oh? I'd rather have a kiss from the yellow gypsy's lips on my way with a raggle-taggle gypsy, oh. How could you leave your goose feather bed, your blanket strewn so comely, oh? How could you leave your only wedded lord, all but a raggle-taggle gypsy, oh? Well, what care I for my goose feather bed, my blanket strewn so comely, oh? Tonight I lie in a wide-open field in the arms of a raggle-taggle gypsy. How could you leave your house and your land? How could you leave your money, oh? How could you leave your only wedded lord? All for a raggle-taggle gypsy, oh. Well, what care I for my house and my land? What care I for my money, oh? I'd rather have a kiss from the yellow gypsy's lips on my way with a raggle-taggle gypsy, oh. away with a raggle taggle gypsy. Oh.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Raggle Taggle Gypsy live for us here in our yurt, come teepee, come whatever you want to call it. And I guess that's a sort of song about following the things you want to do in your heart rather than convention. And has that always been kind of the stuff that's at the heart of what you used to call, and maybe still call, the big music, Mike, and that kind of thing?
It is a kind of a theme song, Stuart. Yeah. I've always strongly identified with the message of the song, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, follow your heart, your fascination, regardless of what everybody thinks. Yeah, yeah.
And not your goose feather bed, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the new record, Bug of Lightning, has been, well, getting great reviews, and I mean, is it a continuation of all the things you've done before? Is it a new phase? I mean, how does it feel to you?
It's a funny record, Stuart. It's a compilation of songs, some of which are brand new, but yes, most of which have been around for, some of them for 6 or 7 years, some of them for 20 years. I kind of dipped into my old, you know, Roger the Dodger used to have all these Dodge books on his bookshelf in a comic yes strip. I've got song books, and I dipped into them, and I picked out a selection that I thought would work together.
Yeah. I mean, the Water Boys now, what does it mean? Is it a concept? Is it a what is it? Is it a plan? You know,
it's an ever unfolding adventure, yeah, stroke band.
Yes.
Yeah, with an ever changing lineup of musicians.
Well, and that brings me on to say, Sharon. Shannon, are you an honorary water boy? Do you feel, have you been augmented?
I hope so. I'd love to be. Yeah. I'd love to be. Can
Sharon,
I be?
Was in the band.
Yeah.
In 1989.
89. Yeah. 90. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we had an amazing time. I really
was it a good time then?
Oh yeah, it was
that would be
fantastic.
That would be when we that would be
Room to Roam.
Room to Roam kind yeah of era, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I loved every second of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
What are they like to be with?
Oh, the best.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
How have things changed since those days, since Room to Roam? I mean, as a business and as you and as people, is it a very different world, or is it still playing records and making and, you know, good music? Does that never change?
It's much the same for us. I must say, I miss having Sharon around all the time and all the other players, because we used to play sessions all the time, Stuart. We used to play in the bus, backstage, in the hotels, on the aeroplane, everywhere. Yeah. And we have a little bit of that now, but I miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to hear in a while, we're going to hear you live from the stage here at the Kensington Folk Festival, but you're going to play another song in these rather more intimate settings here.
Yeah.
What are you going to play for us? You're not sure, are you?
Well, we've got one in our album called It's Gonna Rain, but I've got misgivings about it with the national calamity.
Oh, really? You think it might be a portent of doom?
Well,
I think we've got to risk it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right, if you say so. I'm just worried about being unpopular, that's
no
all.
That had never stopped you before.
Great stuff from the new Waterboys album, Book of Lightning. That's It's Gonna Rain. And Mike and Steve and Sharon, thank you very much.
Thank you.